At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, warmer brother below, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Soups with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family of Podcasts. We've got an excellent podcast for you guys. Joining me in segment number two, we're going to have Justin Perry aboard. He does great work over at Chalk Volley Bets. We're going to be talking about how he takes a look at things from an analytical approach when it comes to the offseason, trying to prepare for the upcoming campaign, just how difficult it is to be able to gauge everything in this day and age with regards to more of a numbers perspective on how to preseason rank these teams. And it's a little bit too soon to be ranking these teams as of right now with just so many different moving pieces. How he just takes a look at coaches themselves and how that's the biggest thing that you want to take a look at. And how sometimes we get a little bit too enveloped in some of these, shall we say, minor guys that are going to be on the move as well. So we're going to have a nice wide-ranging chat with Justin in segment number two. We're also going to be talking about how key chemistry can be in a lot of these spots as well. And then in the final segment, gonna get you guys a recap of everything that we saw in college basketball on Saturday. I will have one thing that I'm going to be mentioning here at the top, and that's with Mr. Robbie Avila going to St. Louis, and have some thoughts there. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways via farthest in. First one is my Twitter /X timeline at @Jaden_D1. Keep in mind, Lursium, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And while I did not get in any Twitter/X questions today, and certainly would like to hear from you guys with regards to those Twitter/X questions, I form a lot of my first segments around what you guys want to be hearing. It was very, very interesting to take a look at what we did get with the Indiana State to St. Louis situation as Josh Hertz takes the job over there, and he struck out with the first few guys like Ryan Conwell. He decided that he was going to be going on over elsewhere. You got quite a few guys that actually decided to go to Texas instead, but the one guy that he was able to hit on was the biggest of them, Robbie Avila. He decided that he is indeed going to be following his coach on over to St. Louis, and this is nothing short of massive for them. As we know with Robbie Avila, guy that can go off for a triple-double on any given night at 6'11" or so, he's able to pop threes at a relatively high clip as well, and it does beg the question, how many of these teams are going to be able to bank on this? Because we saw a lot of coaches take jobs in the offseason, and while we've already seen a few of these players follow their coach, as you saw the DeVries squared package, Darren and Tucker DeVries head on over to West Virginia. I know that a few of the College of Charleston guys did follow Pat Kelsey on over to Louisville. We haven't seen a lot of that this offseason, and over the last few offseasons, we've been noticing it more and more, and I do think that that actually has been playing a little bit of a role in some of the coaching hires that we've seen, like Amir Abdul-Rahim. What he decided that he was going to be going to South Florida, brought over the Kennesaw State guys, worked out very, very well for them, and it has a track record of success if you're able to net these guys as well. I think that it is actually very massive when you do get these guys they're able to follow you. And I do think that coaches like Josh Schertz are going to benefit so much from it if they're able to execute and if they are able to get these guys into their program. But I do think that that is something to watch out for, because a lot of these guys that were at a different school and they had their coach take a different job, like Dusty May heading on over from Florida Atlantic on over to Michigan, a lot of these guys are still to be determined in the transfer portal. And quite frankly, a lot of guys are. As I refresh verbal commits right now, there's 1,760 players currently in the transfer portal, and fewer than 450 of them have made up their mind. So you still have well over 1,000 players that are out there in the transfer portal. As a matter of fact, over 1,200 players out there in the transfer portal deciding what the heck they are going to be doing. So I think that this is going to be something to watch out for, because I know that there are some coaches that they feel like perhaps they can upgrade. There are some coaches that they don't want to mess with happy. This is going to be the big thing to look at right now. But we did see Mr. Robbie Avila decide that he was going to be following his coach. And I can tell you right now, I am sure that those over there in St. Louis are very happy about that. And we are very happy to have Justin Perry aboard. He always does great work when he joins this podcast. He does an amazing job over at Shock Quality Bets. We're going to be talking with him next about what he's making out of the offseason, how to try to decipher all these moves, and why the coach is the biggest aspect of so much of the preseason handicapping that he does. That's up next right here on Cooks Good Seats with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on,
the more worried he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Brad, here in Las Vegas for Cuscus Soups with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, now part of the Beast and Family podcast. Always great to be joined by this man, S. Justin Perry. He does absolutely tremendous work over at Chalk Quality Bets. On top of that, he's doing a great job hosting a show of his own called The Justin Perry Show. You're able to find that every year podcast. I know that that's up on YouTube as well. Coupled with that, I know that he's doing great work for all of you baseball fans over at Pitcher List as well. You're able to find him on Twitter/X at Justin Perry, last name spelled P-E-R-R-I, the number 8 all together. And when it comes to college basketball season, you're able to follow his TikTok at College Basketball Picks. And it's always great to have you aboard. Thank you so much.
Greg, I appreciate you having me. It's always fun hearing all the stuff listed off. It's a busy life, but it's a great one. It's a privilege to get on great shows like this to talk to people about sports and sports betting and how they can approach analyzing these leagues.
Absolutely. And Justin, it is going to be an absolutely tremendous offseason that we are getting out there in college basketball, but it can be one of a little bit of frustration. It can be one in which we've got a lot of things to gauge in general. And I do want to get your thoughts here as to just how you approach everything in the offseason, because I do think that it's very difficult to try to decipher nearly 1,800 guys being out there in the transfer portal and just all of these coaching moves and lots of different philosophies.
It's tough. You know, I think for me personally, and also, you know, that does line up with a little bit of what Shock Quality does. I have some input in sort of how we approach things, but I think more a little about coaching, and I tend to follow like a coach's tendencies and a switch at coach more than looking at how a single player might change a team. Obviously, you definitely want to keep track of stars and the players that you build around, you know, the big names and all that. But at the end of the day, I tend to trust coaches to continue to employ the systems that work, that have gotten them to where they are. You don't usually see too much drastic shift. I mean, maybe if it's a new job and someone's going to be, you know, running something a little bit different than what they had in a different league. I mean, that's all very possible, but there's only so much you can do. I think that you need to have a good ability to adapt. And I think actually that the adaption speed in the industry is still very slow and maybe to a fault because we're not used to this new environment, right? Where there's so many moves, where there's so many coaches. I mean, it's unprecedented. So I think it's twofold. You need to be pretty pressed to it. If you're serious, you need to know the coaching shifts. You should know, you know, any of the players who, you know, are expected to be leaders of teams going places, or like, you know, guys moving for their big senior year after having productive careers already, like, you know, a great Osborne or a Robbie Avila or a Danny Wolf. All these players, like, you know, their names, they were stars and they're moving up conferences. That's the type of stuff where you should probably know and bring it in. But there's only so many truly impactful players in college. And again, I think the true impact is at the coaching level. And then you as a, you know, an analyst, a game player, a better can beat everybody else by realizing those changes and being willing to move on from past year's data a little bit faster. And, you know, I think each team almost needs its own coefficient. And that's something we try to model at Shot Quality in terms of understanding the difference as fast as we can, right? So like looking and comparing teams from last year and being like, all right, well, this team is vastly, vastly different, right? Like when you have McNeese bringing in Will Wade, like that's a huge jump. You can't really use past McNeese numbers. We have ways to quantify that both in our systems. And then honestly, we sit around and we bring together all the college basketball experts and modelers and data scientists, and we analyze every single team to get some base level innate projection coefficients for our models.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that that is so big that you mentioned with the coaches being the biggest thing in college basketball, because so many of them have such a unique style and they're able to put their fingerprints all over the program and see what sort of a difference it makes with some of the guys that enter in the transfer portal and some of these guys that flourish in some systems and other guys that fall a little bit short. As Justin Berry, he does such great work over at Shot Quality Bets. He is showing me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And I do think that it is so interesting to take a look at this offseason and try to gauge some of these coaches that they take on a new job and they do bring over some of their own. Like we are looking at a guy in Josh Schertz who's going to be bringing in Robbie Avila, who that was just absolutely massive for them. I thought that maybe he would get a few more guys from Indiana State, but he got, in my opinion, the main guy. How do you take a look at situations like this? Because I do think that that is one of the biggest things of impact, and I feel like we've seen it every single year where a coach takes a new job, he brings over some of the players from his previous stop, and when he does that, I feel like these coaches have a lot more success than these coaches that take on a new job, and they're unable to land some of those guys.
Yeah, it's a interesting one. I think the continuity does help, right? You do want to bring culture. Culture is the big point at which people bemoan the new landscape of college sports, right? It's like, oh, when's the next time a player's, you know, a star is going to stay at a school for 4 years? And I get it, especially at a mid-major level, it's going to be rare. It's just going to be rare because at the end of the day, it has become a professional sport, and that is good for the players, and that's what should matter because it lifts everything up. But the trade-off is that, you know, it's harder for a coach to come in and build a system, build a culture. Like, this is the way it's run around here. Like, now the players kind of have some of that calling of the shots. They're paid to be there, which I've heard, you know, Dan Hurley say that now these guys are paid, he lays into them like it's their job, which is another trade-off, which should elevate the game. But to get to the point, I do think it's a really good thing to bring some of that, to force the culture to happen by, you know, if you're moving, you bring something with you. And that in relation keeps something constant for the coach themselves, right? And the team and Robbie Avila in this scenario as well, it benefits him. So together, the two of them, St. Louis as a program and the players, and I just saw they got a pretty big recruit, and I've heard that they have, you know, some more big names coming. So maybe by time we talk about college basketball again, Greg, they will have maybe some more people coming from Indiana State. I think it was about as obvious as Tucker DeVries following his father. I mean, he did an announcement event. You know, I get it, and I love Robbie Avila, great character for college basketball. It's going to be great that he goes into a bigger conference. And, you know, I think this is going to be a big revival for St. Louis and bringing the culture with you and keeping some of that continuity and, you know, running some of the same sets and not really having to start from square one when, you know, the game's always changing already is a big advantage, especially at, you know, mid-major level still. And A-10 is pretty good, but by no means are we talking about like a Big 12 or a Big East style team yet.
Nope, I agree with you. And I do think that Schertz is doing a very solid job over at St. Louis. And
He, without question, has a few guys that he's going to need to land moving forward, but this is a very good place to start. As Justin Perry, he does such great work over at Chalk Valley Bets. He is joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And I know that a lot of the conversation this offseason is going to be about which coaching moves reign supreme, which ones are the best, which ones are the worst, and flat out the way to be able to take a look at it is during the season. But just in terms of the signings that were made, what are a few that really do jump off the page, whether there's one or two that maybe left you scratching your head, or if there were a few that you take a look at and you thought that it was just absolutely tremendous for that program?
I mean, obviously I mentioned, you know, Great Osborne, and, you know, there's going to be interesting growing pains there, I think, for them. He was pretty awesome with Utah State. Don't get me wrong. I think it was a really nice, you know, ad for Kentucky and Mark Pope. Like, it's going to be fun. I think this should, you know, work out well with the style. Again, he's a big post guy, and that's what you're going to need. And that's the type of stuff that I think we're going to see make some sense for them. But, well, I'm obviously a little concerned for year one. Again, I don't think you're going to see that level of continuity for Pope at Kentucky. But there's reason to think that long term he'll be able to develop it. It's a little bit different. And again, he'll bring guys in and he'll figure out his team style. I don't really expect it to really look exactly like BYU. We saw sort of how it worked for him. I mean, the SEC is probably a little bit more down low and post style play. So I think this is a big signal that, you know, we're not going to get the exact same look that we saw for BYU. You know, we are going to see some typical SEC play out of Kentucky, even with a coach that has played differently. We all know Mark Pope knows how to play Kentucky style basketball. So yeah, I think that's a really good one. I mean, shot quality does have him as a very fun player to watch for, and had some really great numbers in terms of, you know, being able to get in the post. I think top 10 percentile in terms of some post efficiency rate ratings. It's going to be a fun year for them. Another one that's been good, I mean, Indiana looks like they're going to have a pretty interesting look in terms of maybe being a bigger threat in the Big Ten now this year, landing some fun names, of course. But I've heard some interesting analysis, I guess, of what Indiana might look like. I mean, some big, of course, signings coming out of prospects always. It's tough to tell, honestly. I mean, Omar Ballo, the name and the size and the presence is going to do a lot, but what if the inefficiency strikes again and we just build another Mike Woodson roster that doesn't actually accomplish much? There's plenty of reason to just continue to be worried about the roster construction for Indiana, even with the big name. Yeah, you know, there's probably a few more, obviously, like West Virginia getting a little bit of a remake, and Tucker DeVries going there with his dad is a notable one. And we'll see how their style of play translates. I'm a little bit concerned. Wasn't the biggest Drake backer this season. I wasn't the biggest MVC supporter in terms of how good that conference is. So I don't know initially going in if I'm going to be a full believer just off of the skepticism of how that'll translate. But DeVries might not be big enough for the Big 12 just as a player too, not just his father as a coach, but, you know, the tandem in general. It could be tough. And we've seen, you know, West Virginia maybe looking like it's swinging its arms around, trying to find something to latch onto a bit, especially after how last year looked. Yeah, we'll see. A lot of big names, though, and I'm sure we're not done either.
Nope, no question about it. We are just getting started with over 1,800 players in the transfer portal. You know that there's going to be so much action to try to decipher, and I do think that West Virginia is going to be one of the most interesting teams out there. And I feel like there is starting to be, though, a little bit of a, shall we say, pattern that's growing in college basketball. We saw it this past season with some of these teams that were trying to embrace a one and done. Well, they were one and done. Only problem was that was in the NCAA tournament. And that's that it does feel like, in terms of college basketball, it's all about balance. We saw with UConn this last season, they had a few guys that transferred in, but they were there for multiple years, like a Tristan Newton. They did bring in a guy like a Cam Spencer that was there for just 1 year, but they had just a nice mix of players, guys that have already been there, and then they sort of plug in via the transfer portal those few pieces that they need. How many programs do you think are going to try to emulate this model a little bit? And do you think that there might be more success for these teams moving forward? Because it does feel like there have been a lot of programs, like in the Big Ten, a lot of these teams have really decided to not utilize the transfer portal to their fullest abilities. That's burned them. And then you've got a coach like an Eric Musselman that is trying to get every single player via the transfer portal and pretty much brings in 12 new guys every single year. And that hasn't worked as well. How much do you think that teams are going to see what UConn has done and try to really emulate that.
I mean, it's the golden model at this point in terms of replenishing defined roles. I mean, they run probably the most complex offense, and they fill it with some of the best players. It's just, we've seen it for the last 2 years. That is hard to defeat. You even make one of the most dominant big men in college basketball history look like something they kind of breeze past. And, like, that's awesome. It's awesome. But it's crazy how much higher the ceiling is for a team that looks like that compared to what it looks like when you bring everything together all at once and expect it to be ready to go by the time you get to, you know, game, what, 40, maybe? You know, consider some pregame, preseason stuff and everything. It's tough. I mean, you know, NBA teams are barely together, or they are. They're together after 80 games, but, like, that's double the amount. And these are college kids. These aren't as good of shooters. It works a lot better to hybridize it. And I think we'll still continue to see Dan Hurley attack in the same way. And people will follow. But, you know, you also need to find the right people to build around, right? You need to, you know, be able to offer them what UConn can, which is like, if this works, we'll cut down nets. You know, like, you can't offer me that, you know, at almost most other schools outside of, like, the Big 12 can't offer that. Maybe a few in each conference. I mean, you know, that's kind of like the same thing Vermont does, right? When you have this, like, ticket to the dance, it's at a much different level, but, like, they run their conference. So they can bring players in and say, hey, you know, stick with us for a year or two. We'll go to the dance both years. We'll build a team. We'll bring in some good transfers. And who knows what we can do? We can make a little bit of a run. Your name will be out there. That can lead to a professional career overseas for a lot of guys, or even just some of the, you know, chasing the glory of it all and making a run, whatever it is. You know, you need to sort of have that upside to offer the players. And while I think the UConn model will try to be copied, I don't know how many have the allure of the championship, the blue blood. You know, it's a nice picture that Dan Hurley gets to sell to the best talent in the world at his level. So it's gonna be interesting. The strategy will continue to evolve. We're in the infancy of a new era of college basketball. It's fascinating. You know, you got to take it with a grain of salt at some level because nobody knows what's going on. I mean, you hear reports about how different recruiting is. I think, you know, to truly become in tune with college basketball, you need to start at the player level and understand what it's like for players. I mean, you know, that intimacy with campus is going to be gone. Like, these guys are just going to be like paid employees of the college. They are going to show up for their job at a university the same way every other employee does. The teachers show up, you know, it's not like a student going to their after school job. It's a full employee. So it's changing how recruiting is done. It's changing how, like, living on campus is done, interacting with the community. Like, eventually coaches and staffs will learn how to bring in the right players for what they're offering in terms of making it work off the basketball court too. I'm sure there's a lot of bad fits in terms of how teams are handling players, and there's definitely been teams that just don't work what it seems like they should. And obviously you can get into, like, how it's going on the court, but some have been such letdowns that you think maybe it has something to do with this not being able to sort of figure out how to pull teams together in short times. I think over the years, as we continue to have these conversations, Greg, we'll hear less and less of the difficulty, the complaints, because, you know, it just becomes the new normal. It won't be what will it be like. We'll understand, we'll know, and we'll be able to evaluate it. It's just going to take 3 or 4 more seasons of this.
Yep, absolutely. Just like we had to adjust to the fact that teams were more efficient than ever on the offensive side of things this past season. We have got a lot that is going down in college basketball right now. And Justin, I know you're hard at work trying to decipher it all, and I know that you're hard at work trying to make sense of what we're going to be getting this season. We have seen no shortage of moves with regards to coaching moves. We've seen no shortage of guys entering the transfer portal. And I know that you've got your finger on the pulse of all of it. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, for sure. I'm doing a bunch of baseball work this summer for PitcherList. Going to be, you know, tapping in a couple times every week with a few articles. You can follow my Twitter at JustinPerry8. For everything I do, it's really my hub. Every video, everything kind of gets posted there. It's my follower base. And I do have my own Discord, and you can get in all that fun stuff if you want and join a lot of people who enjoy talking about sports and the analytical statistically based way. I mean, you know, we're out there talking about almost everything you can with numbers. It's fun. And if you like that, we'll be doing a bunch of NBA playoffs and into WNBA now as well. With shot quality, we have four or five shows doing our live betting all this week. So if you like live betting or you want to get into it, we have our brand new one-of-a-kind live regression model that tells you expected scores in the minute of every basketball game. So come check it out. We're doing that over at Shot Quality Bets. Honestly, it's a game changer, I think. So it's really changed my approach. And I think it gives you live betting, if you're sharp, can give you a really nice leg on the books.
And speaking of a game changer, Justin Perry and all the work that he does such an amazing job taking a look at this great game of college basketball. And every single time he joins the show, I feel like we get a bit smarter. So big thanks to Justin for joining me on Cusco Soups, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you a recap of all the news and notes we saw in college basketball on Saturday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back to lovely Las Vegas for Cusco Soups with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by Justin Perry. He does such amazing work over at Shock Value Bets. Take a look at this game that we all know and love of college basketball. Every single time he joins this show, he lends such good insights and did so once again today. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a recap as to all the news and notes we saw in college basketball over the last 24 hours. No question about it, the biggest piece of news that we saw was Robbie Avila and his decision to be heading on over with his coach Josh Schertz over at St. Louis, but hash that out in the first segment. So now we're able to give a little bit more love to some of these other moves. And how about what Cal is doing here in the transfer portal? Joseph Ala. Joseph, he was rock solid last season over at Minnesota.
Minnesota. He was able to provide the team with about 7.5 points per contest. He has decided that he is going to be transferring on over to California, and I feel like this is a really good get for Cal. I do think that Mark Madsen in season number two is going to be able to get things rocking and rolling a little bit more. He had to take over just to complete another mess, and you've just got a nice range of guys in general. Guy in DJ Campbell is a nice three-point shooter over at Western Carolina. Lee Doherty, former top 150 recruit with some upside. Christian Tucker, he was very good at UTSA. BJ Omot was the top scorer over at North Dakota and the just old Hawks. I was going to call them the Fighting Sioux, but that said, now you're bringing someone in Joseph Ala Joseph, who he doesn't need to be the main guy, but at the same time, he can fill it up in a wide variety of ways. With him being able to provide those about 7.5 points per contest, he shot from three-point range about 40%. I feel like he could be a little bit of a better rebounder than he was this past season over at Minnesota, but all in all, I take a look at this move, and I'm very much a fan of it. How about Danny Wolf heading on over to Michigan? He was an absolute menace at 7 feet tall, 14 points, right around about 9.5 boards. He's able to shoot in the mid-30s from three-point range, and it's interesting what Michigan has been doing now that you've got old Dusty May in the fold, because many people are expecting him to just go out there and pluck a bunch of guys from Florida Atlantic and have them follow along, and we could still see a few guys from Florida Atlantic head on over to Michigan, but it's been very much bringing in a few unique different guys, which I do have to wonder if the chemistry is going to be there towards the beginning part of the season. Right now, the main two guys that have been brought in is Danny Wolf, who I just mentioned, along with Reuben Jones, who is a nice number two scorer over at North Texas, and you have to wonder, are these Florida Atlantic guys going to be coming over or not? That is a big question, because I think that if they don't, that will be a little bit of an issue for them, because I do think that Michigan, they do need to just rebuild themselves right away a little bit on the fly, because they did also lose darn near everyone from last season as well. So going to be interesting to see how that goes about, but certainly bringing in a 7-footer like Danny Wolf, I think that that is a tremendous gift for them. How about this? The old Iron Bowl is going to be taking on a new meaning, as there's going to be a little bit more, shall we say, at stake with Aiden Holloway, who was over at Auburn. He's now transferring on over to Alabama. For Aiden Holloway, he had a really nice start to the season, a former All-American, a former top 30 recruit, I should say, McDonald's All-American, but he just fell off towards back half of the season. After a really nice start, you can tell that he just fell out of favor, went into Bruce Pearl's doghouse a little bit more. He now goes to Alabama, and I think that he's absolutely going to flourish in this system. He's a very capable three-point shooter. Sometimes can make some bad decisions, sometimes force things a little bit too much, but he's going to be surrounded by his shooters. Houston Mallard, who comes in from Pepperdine, he has the capacity to shoot 40%+ from three-point range. Chris Youngblood shot 40%+ from three-point range over at South Florida. Have to wonder where the defense is going to be for Alabama, and I think that that's a very, very question, but that said, I really like him in this Alabama system, and it looks like Alabama, what we saw from them last season, certainly going to be duplicated this upcoming season. You did see a interconference transfer as well on this one with Malik Brown. He was playing over at Syracuse this last season. He's heading on over to Duke. He was able to log 9.5 points, 7 rebounds per game. Now, if you expect him to be the sort of replacement for Mark Mitchell, I think he's very much a level below that. Wasn't as a highly touted of a prospect. Syracuse did have their defensive, shall we say, woes last season as well, and a lot of people don't want him in, but Duke was pretty solid on the defensive side of things last season as well, but I do think they can come in there, be a relatively solid player. I think that he's better than what, like, Ryan Young provided last year. I think that he's a little bit worse than what Mark Mitchell provided. Sort of a in-between of those two, and then I was mentioning with Cal, Christian Tucker, I forgot that he had actually transferred in on Saturday as well. I thought that he might have been a little bit earlier, but 11.5 points, 5.5 assists, so it was actually a very, very good day for Cal. You'd love to see that. And then you've got Micah Parrish, who he began his career out there in the Midwest, began his career over at Oakland. He has decided that he is going to be heading to Ohio State after last season. He was able to log about 9.5 points per contest at San Diego State. Just never really took off the way that I thought he was going to. Parrish, while he was over at Oakland, was a 15+ point per game scorer. And for Parrish, while he was over at San Diego State, he was a nice off-the-ball sort of scorer, but he only shot about 29.5% from three-point range this past season. Doesn't really give you a whole heck of a lot down low. He was able to generate a little bit over a CO per contest, but only grabbed about 4 boards per contest this last year at San Diego State. So I wonder what that jump is going to be to Ohio State, because he had 2 really good years over at Oakland, but the past 2 campaigns, just a little bit rough for him in general. And then we did see A gentleman from D2 Lincoln Memorial, Matthew Sells, he has decided that he is going to be going to Tennessee Tech. We all know that there have been quite a few players that were over at Lincoln Memorial that have had success at the Division I level. And heck, we've seen a coach go from Lincoln Memorial and have a lot of success at the Division I level as well. But I do think that this is going to be a solid gift for Tennessee Tech. And when you're a school like Tennessee Tech, you have to get a little bit crafty. You have to bring in some of these D2 guys. And we've been seeing it more and more. These guys that dominate at the D2 level, they come up to the D1 level, they're able to produce. And the biggest thing that remains consistent oftentimes is three-point shooting. During the 2022-23 campaign for Sells, he was able to shoot about 40 or so percent from three-point. You look at what he was able to do this past season, wasn't necessarily a guy that lit it up in terms of the scoring at only about 8.5 points per contest. It was actually a quite deep Lincoln Memorial team, but that said, still shot about 36.5% from three-point. Would have liked him to be a little bit more productive this past season. This was honestly the worst of his three seasons over at Lincoln Memorial, but that said, that three-point shooting is something that Tennessee Tech badly needs, and that's something that they are going to be able to get. The Drake transfer, and Ethan Roberts, he has decided that he is going to be going to Penn. For Ethan Roberts, a little bit of a long and winding road for him, and very, very rare that you see someone transfer into Penn. Like, this is a unicorn of what we see, because with the Ivy League, they don't have scholarships or anything like that, but Ethan Roberts, the reason why he's able to do this is because prior to him going on over to Drake, he was actually a part of the Army program, and while he was over at Army, 12.5 points per contest, shot 40% from three, flat out could not get on the floor this past season for Drake. So I do think that this is actually a very good wild card pickup for Penn, and all of a sudden we've got someone transferring into the Ivy League. Very nice to see. Quinn Denker, he was one of the main scorers over at Idaho this last season. He has decided that he is going to be transferring on over to Northern Colorado, and for Northern Colorado, I think that this is a relatively solid get. With Denker, he flat out did not have a lot around him. Idaho has been one of the more rough college basketball programs out there last few seasons, but stepped in season number one, 12.5 points, 3.5 boards, 3.5 assists after he was ever at West Valley, a non-Division I school, and did a nice job being able to protect the ball, shot 34% from three-point. Doesn't necessarily dominate in one aspect of things, but is relatively solid all the way around, so I do think that this is a solid gift for them, and this is a good gift for Stonehill. They have been lacking a lot of guard play in recent seasons. Josh Morgan just could never really find his overall footing over at Incarnate Word. There were always some flashes of brilliance. He would have like a 2-3 game, really, really good showing, and then he would just fade into obscurity, and now he's going to be entering on over to Stonehill, where he's probably going to be very much a featured guy this past season over at Incarnate Word. He was able to put up about 7.5 points per contest. Best year over at Incarnate Word is when he was able to log for the team about 11.9 points per contest. That year, he shot about 38.5% from three-point shooting. For his career, about a 37.5% three-point shooter. Now, not a guy that's going to necessarily give you a lot of defense. You need more on the glass if you're Stonehill. That has been a big, giant issue for him, but that said, I do think that this is going to be a solid pickup for them, and just being able to add a little bit of three-point shooting, something that they didn't have a lot of this past season, is going to be big as well. Jalen Brazelli, he was playing over at USC Upstate this last season. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Morehead State. For Morehead State, they're just looking to retool in any way possible, as they have a coaching regime change that's happening. They've got a lot of players that they need to replace from last year's NCAA tournament team, and I do think that this is a good place for them to be able to start. With Brazelli this last season over at USC Upstate, wasn't necessarily like a primary guy or anything like that, but he was able to give the team 6 points, 3.2 assists per contest. He did a nice job of just being that guy in the background that's able to facilitate. Now, the question becomes for Morehead State, where are you going to be able to bring in that are going to be more of those alpha dog scorers, or are those guys that you bring in that are really going to be sort of commanding a little bit more of the defensive attention? But now you've got a guy that's a little bit of a pass first breed that is going to be able to help out the guys around him. That's something that you do love to see. It was a big day for Yale guys transferring elsewhere, as Matt Noling, he knows where he's going to be going. He's going to be playing for Eric Musselman over at USC. And for Noling, he's been a really interesting guy because he's a solid defender, even though he's not one of these guys that is going to go out there for a double-double or anything like that. This past season, while he was over at Yale, 11.5 points, run around about 5 boards per contest, capable of popping threes, but doesn't necessarily pop a ton of them. I do wonder how he's going to transfer in to USC, because he's one of those just classic glue guys, in my opinion, at the power conference level. I think that he can be that guy that will give you the occasional steal. He'll give you the occasional big-time rebound. He'll know his role really well if you expect him to be able to really elevate a team. I don't know if he does that, and I view this USC team as a lot of these guys. Joshua Cohen, I actually think, can really take that leap up after at UMass last season. He was tremendous at 6'10", able to pop threes. He's able to give you 8-plus boards. He's able to give you 15-plus points per contest. Bryce Pope, while he was the primary scorer over at UC San Diego, I don't know if that's necessarily going to translate to USC. And then Clark Slager, he was able to be the top scorer over at Penn last season. I do have my question marks there, but USC certainly has been able to attain quite a bit of talent, so going to be interesting to see how that works. And shock, shock, surprise, surprise, this man is back in the transfer portal as well. Moussa Cisse, who he has had a long and winding road in college basketball. He is back in the transfer portal. 7'1" giant of the earth, who's just never really been able to give you much on offense. Always is solid on the defensive side of things. Always does a nice job of being able to hit the board. So this was really his worst year in his 4 years in college basketball this past year over at Ole Miss. Just 4.5 points, 4.5 boards. Couldn't get out there in the first few games of the season due to the two-time transfer issues that you were having with these guys. But he was, when he was over at Oklahoma State, averaging about 2 blocks per contest. He is clearly a very good defensive big man. Question is, can he develop at all on offense? Do have my question marks there, but there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be in on him, as I do think that there are going to be some guys in on Josh Gray as well. To a lesser extent, he's able to give you a bit of the same down low, even though he's a little bit more of a raw version last season over at South Carolina. Was able to give the team about 3 points, 3 rebounds per contest, so we shall see what his prospects are going to be there. And then this trend is becoming more and more prevalent, and we saw it happen once again on Saturday. Sebastian Thomas, he was playing this last season over at Albany. He began his career over at Rhode Island. Guess where he's transferring back to? You guessed it, Rhode Island. After last year, he tore it up with Albany. He was able to put up 19.5 points, nearly 5 assists, 2 steals per contest. Never has been the world's greatest three-point shooter, only shot about 29.5% from three-point range, but he is back with Rhode Island. Very interested as to what we get in this iteration, because last time he was there, he was logging about 6.3 assists per contest, primarily a pass-first guy. He was a part-time starter, and he and Jamarcus Lawrence are the only two guys that have really committed to Rhode Island. They've got a few guys returning from last year, but it has been a pretty rough go of it for Rhode Island ever since Archie Miller has taken over. So we shall see what they are going to be getting moving forward. But we do know that Cannon Carlisle, he is heading on over to Indiana. This is a very big move for Indiana. As for Carlisle, when he was on, he was on. He missed the first few games of the season for Carlisle. When he is on, though. I still remember in that game where they knocked off Arizona, was able to put up 28 big points. And you just take a look at the first few games that he played for Stanford. He was looking like one of the best players really in the country. Shot 44.5% from three, 15.5 points, 3 assists per contest in his first 10 games out there. And then we just saw a precipitous fall off from there. He would not register more than 12 points in any of the final 13 games. The 3-point shooting really did taper off a little bit, but I do think that he's going to be able to help out an Indiana team that I've been saying it on the podcast the last few days. Love the fact that they get an Umar Ballo, but they have a couple too many big men, in my opinion. They bring in a nice pass-first guard in Miles Rice. Who's going to be that scorer? And Cannon Carlisle, he clearly can be that guy. Again, it is going to be up to Mike Woodson to be able to run a style that allows them to be able to have success, because we have seen it the last few seasons with this bunch. They just have not been able to excel on the offensive side of things. And I do think that it's fair to ask whether or not at any point this team is going to be able to ascend if they are able to really reach those expectations that were set when Mike Woodson was there. But they certainly now have the guys to be able to do so. And then, speaking of guys, how about this guy stepping into a head coaching role as Chicago State? They have filled their head coaching void. Scott Spinelli, he has been named the team's head coach. He was the assistant on the team for the 2023-24 season. I know that Chicago State was tweeting out that he was doing a lot in terms of game plans and doing a lot of the just overall legwork to be able to help out the Chicago State team. So it's going to be interesting to see if he's able to retain much of his own, because we saw guys like Wesley Carden and company decide to enter into the transfer portal. I felt like he did a really good job just in terms of being able to help out a little bit on the recruiting front as well. But Gerald Gillian, he was one of the more underrated coaches in all of college basketball. Taking over for him, I think it's going to be tough for Spinelli, but hey, at the very least, now Chicago State has a conference, and now you've got a podcast that every single day gives you a fresh episode, as If you do like hearing from the Sign Podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline at @GNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline, and the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review, and big thanks once again to our good friend Justin Perry, who does great work over at Jock Volley Bets, coming at you guys every single day throughout the year, whether that be regular season or off-season. So I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.